The reading is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 1128 of the Church Bible. Romans 1, 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And just good morning, and it's lovely to be with you this morning as well. Let's pray, and I'm going to read some words that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Well, dear Lord, we pray that our response this morning to your word preached by Paul will be just that of the Thessalonians. We pray it for your glory and for our good. Amen. It's a Tuesday night in May in London. People are in their droves out on the street. There's impromptu music. There's dancing. Crowds are filling Trafalgar Square. Everybody is jubilant. Life has stopped in its tracks. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about. Well, it was VE Day, 8th of May, 1945. The end of war in Europe. It's in an A&E department. 15 medics step back from the bed after treating a 2-year-old boy. Masks come off. The team drift away. The lead doctor comes up to the anxious parents and says, "It's okay. It was just a febrile seizure. We've stopped it, and he's sleeping in peace." The parents, it was Cherry and I, feel a deep sense of joy at the great news. We're thinking this morning about good news. Good news that stops you in your tracks, makes you drop everything else to listen to it. And this is what the book of Romans is all about. Now, some of you have told me that you're really looking forward to Romans this term. But I'm sure that not everyone feels quite as excited as that. And as I prepared, I tried to imagine the sort of people in the church in Rome who would have been skeptical about Paul's letter to them. So here they are. First, Jesus-loving Julius. He says he loves Jesus' teaching. But he's not so excited about Paul. He's heard that Paul is uncompromising and his letters are hard to understand. His heart sinks at the thought of studying Paul's long letter all through the autumn. Why can't we do stories about Jesus or more parables? Maybe you can empathize with Jesus-loving Julius. And then there's advanced Adriana. She has been a Christian from the early days in Rome. She knows and believes in the gospel. She's hungry to learn, and she can see there are so many issues relevant for being a Christian in the non-Christian culture around in Rome, and it's a very similar culture to ours today. And there's so many lifestyle issues of importance. A letter from Paul that is all about the gospel, she doesn't think it's what she needs right now. And then finally, therapy-loving Theodora. She is one of the Jewish believers in the Roman church, and she's very conscious of the tensions between Jew and Gentile that were there in that church, and the healing that is needed. But when she hears these introductory words, in verse 4, Jesus Christ, our Lord, or in verse 5, to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, she feels a bit cold. Doesn't the Roman church need a message of healing, of therapy that will bring everyone together? Christian unity, that's what we need, not submission to a Lord. Well, maybe you can identify with some of these people. Whatever your feelings about Romans, I pray that we will all find it to be far better than we imagined and much more exciting than we thought. So first, let's briefly get our bearings with this letter. Now, unlike most of the letters that Paul wrote, he hasn't met the Roman church. That's why there's such a long greeting that we had read at the beginning. You see, he needs to persuade them of his credentials. He needs to persuade people like Julius to listen to him. Also, unlike the other letters, Paul is not writing, firstly, for their sake, but because he has a plan for spreading the gospel in the regions beyond Rome. He tells us in chapter 15 that he's planning to go to Spain. And so he wants to get to know the Romans so that they will be mission partners with him in the Western Mediterranean. And this is another reason why they, even advanced Adrianas, need to hear in full detail the gospel that he preaches. But also, Theodora is right. There are Jew-Gentile tensions in Rome, as we'll see. But Paul is going to teach that the deep solution to these is to get everyone united in deep gospel truth. That's the message they need that will unite them. And we'll see it's actually deeply therapeutic. So for all of these reasons and more, Paul gives us in this amazing book his most thorough and most marvelous unfolding of the gospel in all its depth. And he says in chapter 15 that even advanced believers will be blessed by a deeper grasp of the gospel. So we all, wherever we're at, need this letter. Now today, we're just looking at the opening greeting, verses 1 to 7. And as we do that, I'm just going to put two big questions to it. First, who is this messenger? And secondly, what is his great message? So first, who is this messenger? Who wrote this letter? Well, it's there in verse 1. These ancient letters started by the writer telling us a bit about themselves. And it's, of course, Paul. We met him, if you were here last term. Paul is the Roman name of this Jewish man, Saul of Tarsus. Remember him? The big enemy of the Christians. But on the Damascus Road, he was dramatically met by the risen Jesus, and in one encounter, he was converted and commissioned to a new life. And so how does he now describe himself? Verse 1, a servant of Christ Jesus. He's no longer his own master. He belongs to Jesus. He's not a religious entrepreneur in the mold of an Elon Musk or a Richard Branson building his church empire. No, he belongs to his master, Jesus Christ. And in fact, verse 1, he's an apostle. That means literally a sent one. He is Jesus' authorized agent, his envoy sent to proclaim the great news. And you can see it there in verse 5. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And verse 6, that includes you, Romans, as well. And it includes us, too. For the word Gentile is the Latin word for nations. So who is this messenger? Well, it's Paul, Christ's appointed messenger to all nations. It's just as Jesus said in Acts 9, if you remember when he spoke to Ananias, he said, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." His credentials are big. Are we willing to listen to him? So then, what is his great message? Well, it's called gospel. Romans is the gospel according to Paul. Gospel means in plain English, good news. But to say good news is really a bit of an understatement. It really means great news, the best news ever. The Old Testament equivalent of this word was used to describe news of a great victory. Think again of VE Day, the announcement of peace in Europe. Or imagine the joy there'll be in Ukraine if they manage to beat off the Russians. Gospel announces the victory achieved by God that results in God's kingly rule and his salvation being offered to his people, being given to his people. But also in the Roman Empire, the word gospel was used by the emperor for momentous announcements, for instance, the birth of an heir to the throne. So Rico Tice, the presenter of Christianity Explored course, puts it like this: if you don't think the gospel of Jesus is the best news ever, then I guarantee you haven't yet understood it. Well, what else do we learn about this great news here? Well, verse 1, it is God's gospel. It's not a human invention. It's from the creator of all. Great news for us. That's why it's the best news, because it's from him. What else do we learn? Look at verse 2. Well, it's not entirely new news. When did we first hear about it? Well, from the prophets, who wrote it down for us in the Old Testament scriptures. Paul wants to reassure us, especially Jews, that his message is trustworthy. It's in line with all that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and all the rest said. The coming of Jesus is not God's plan B, as if plan A to Israel failed. No, it was always God's plan. And what is God's gospel about? Well, look at verse 3. It's concerning his son. It's all about Jesus. Did you realize that Christianity is all about a person? It's not really a creed or a religion, but it's Jesus. As someone has said, Christianity is Christ. And so Paul whets our appetite by telling us two momentous facts about Jesus. First one in verse 3. Who is Jesus from an earthly perspective? Well, have a look. He's a descendant of King David. Remember, he's Joseph's adopted son, and therefore he's in line for the physical throne of Israel. Hearing this ought to make especially Jewish listeners feel their hearts skip a beat with excitement. He's the Messiah. His human pedigree could not be higher. But who is he from a spiritual perspective? Well, verse 4, it's through the Spirit that he is declared with power to be the Son of God. This happened because he was raised from the dead. After his resurrection, he has received a heavenly, universal throne, exalted to the highest place. as he sums it up at the end of verse 4, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By his resurrection, he has become Lord over all the universe. His resurrection is the sign of God's rule breaking into this dark world. Things do look dark, don't they, at the moment? War in Ukraine, floods in Pakistan, inflation in the West. But Jesus is alive and on his throne. God's saving kingdom is coming. And his kingdom brings the offer of salvation to all. And all we need to do is bow down to his rule. That's what verse 5 says. We are called to respond to him in faith, in trust. And this is to be expressed as obedience to the Lord Jesus. And so, a final question about this great message. Who is it for? Well, he's Lord of all, and therefore all are called to respond. It's there in verse 5. And so, you could sum up the beginning of Romans as this. Get ready to listen and respond as Paul unfolds God's eternal gospel about his Son, who is Messiah and Lord of all. So Jesus, if he were here this morning with us, he'd be asking us, will you listen and respond to my chosen servant as he unfolds the full gospel about me to you and all nations? Will you listen and respond to Romans? But what if you feel a little bit like Jesus loving Julius? If you're honest, Romans isn't your kind of book. At best, you'll give it a sort of grudging acceptance that you ought to make the most of it. But Jesus is saying, Paul is my chosen messenger. Think. That means to reject Paul is to reject Jesus. When I did my curacy, I attended the bishop's annual Lent lecture in another diocese. And one year, the speaker was an academic who said on the podium she liked Jesus, but didn't like Paul or accept his teaching as authoritative. What a catastrophe that is for a theologian. You see, you cannot legitimately separate Paul and Jesus. Paul is Jesus' mouthpiece. Paul's gospel is the same gospel that's proclaimed by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's just a wonderful fifth perspective. And in fact, many Christians through history have found it was Romans that brought them to faith. I just wanted to share three of the greatest, most influential leaders in church history who were saved through this book. Here's the first one. Saint Augustine of Hippo in North Africa famously responded to a child saying, pick up and read, pick up and read. He picked up the book of Romans, read it, and came to trust in Jesus. And he has been probably the most influential theologian through the whole of church history. Martin Luther was a monk who hated God and God's righteousness. But Romans showed him that God wanted to give him his righteousness as a gift. This message saved Luther and kick-started the revolution that became known as the Reformation. And then finally, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, reluctantly, this was in the 18th century, reluctantly went along to a Christian meeting in London, and someone there was reading out Luther's commentary on Romans. If you're finding this sermon a bit dry, imagine me reading from a commentary instead. But this shows the power of Romans, because it was through this reading that Wesley's heart, as he described it, was warmed. And he felt for the first time that he did now trust Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. And he went on to be a key leader in the great 18th century revival of Christianity. So, will you listen and respond to Romans? But what if you're feeling a bit like an advanced Adriana? You want real issues. You want relevance to our moment. Well, can I give you a big assurance that the key to those issues and the key to relevance is first to be found by going deeper into God? Becoming a mature believer is not about going on, it's about going deeper. Picture yourself for a moment as a tree, and anyone who's sort of my age and up might remember that Prudential advert that's where someone goes, "I want to be a tree." Remember that? Think of the environment if you are a tree, the wind that is blowing against you, the animals that are gnawing your bark and all that kind of stuff. The key to success is your roots. It's about going deeper. Then you'll be able to bear fruit and weather the environment around you. Well, the tree image is, of course, taken from Psalm 1, where it's about going deep into God's word in order to bear fruit in all of life. But if you don't listen and respond to the gospel deeply, you'll miss out. You'll miss out on many crucial lessons. Do you wish to stay immature, to get proud, to lack assurance of your salvation, to not grow in Christ-likeness, to lack confidence in God's sovereignty over our world? Well, ignore Romans. It was as a young Christian medic in my free time that I helped in 2 different years teaching a year-long course of Romans to students. And I can honestly say that the experience of going through Romans in detail established me as a Christian believer more than anything else. I am profoundly grateful for it and really excited to be coming back to this book after what is many years. So will you listen and respond to Romans? Finally, what if you're feeling like Theodora, aware of the need for healing, therapy for your community or yourself? Well, in the world, as I've come across in psychiatry, therapy puts people at the center. But God's gospel puts the Lord Jesus at the center. And it's when he is Lord of our lives, we are turned out of ourselves. We find new life in Christ with him in charge. And it's as we do that that our felt needs will find their deepest resolution. So in Romans chapter 14, we do deal with the Jew-Gentile tensions, but only after 13 chapters focused on Christ. So Jesus is saying, will you listen and respond to my chosen servant as he unfolds the full gospel about me to you and all nations? Imagine if God were to send you an angel from heaven this very night, a heavenly messenger, and this messenger was to read to you the most important message that the Creator has for you and your life. Well, that message could not possibly be a better message than the one he's already given us in this book. Will you listen and respond to Romans? Let's pray. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you so much for the announcement of the great news that Jesus is Lord, that he is also our Saviour. We thank you for this and help us all to respond today in the obedience of faith. And in the coming weeks, may you use this great work of Paul to establish and grow and build us up for your glory and for our good. Amen.